morning, Georgie.
Recording in progress.
Those are
The AI voice that we hear every time when you press that button.
It's nerve-wracking. Did it scare you, Gordon? Hearing recording in progress.
Now recording's in progress.
Don't say.
Yeah, the blood pressure goes up and the heart rate goes up a little bit. And
Exactly.
don't worry.
yeah.
You can make all the weird, strange faces that you want to, and only me and Carrie are going to see it. Nobody will see it on Spotify. So
Okay. All right.
we do need one of these days. I keep thinking we need to make this a video deal, to make it available on a video. I guess I can do that.
Yeah,
But
probably. I'll probably
for
need.
now, it's just an audio only. But
That's audio only. So, which I think I need to change my. I make it to where I have something other than my Spurs back there. And then it'd be. I don't know if I should show the real life me or the. Or the spur
well,
me.
we should introduce our esteemed guest here.
The chaos of my shop.
Yours looks cool
We
though.
have none other than Gordon Andrus, all the way from Colville, Utah,
Yeah, quite so.
and he's comes live to us today from his what he his the self-described shop called his Hermitage. And those of us who are one man craftsmen, one person craftsmen, can completely identify with that moniker.
Oh
So welcome to the poop show here, Gordon.
thanks. It's good to see you guys.
Yeah,
Good to
we
meet you. I've heard about you forever. good to hear you guys.
I mentioned a while ago, Gordon, that I've had people bring examples of your work, pictures of your work to me. Look at this guy's stuff. Like, this is really cool, and a lot of your silver stuff. And we've had some large discussions about your design, and you definitely have a knack for design, and that's a certain soft spot with me for sure. Don't know if you know that. He probably, if you've talked to Kerry once, you know that about him. I've been an admirer of yours for years and years, Wilson. It's We're secret admirers. We should have sent each other messages,
yeah, well.
Your ears might have been burning here about a week ago when Gordon and I were talking on the phone, I said, well, he's kind of a goofball, but take a look at his work, and that there's some layers underneath that. And Gordon says, oh yeah, anybody that does that kind of design work and execution has got some layers, some depth right there. So his goofball attitude it kind of belies what's underneath. So
Just we can
how's
get
that for a
yeah, that's perfect. That it's a big old mask. We can get real serious real quick, and that scares the water out of me. So let's just keep it light.
Keep it.
I get nervous if I get uptight and tense. I get nervous, or if I'm gonna be serious, and I have to be nervous. I was that way roping too. I always wanted to have a good time instead of think about the hundreds of thousand dollars I could win or could lose or was losing,
That brings up a really good point, I think, when it comes to actually getting the work done and coming up, setting things up so that hopefully the muse shows up, from time to time and stuff. And this is a psychology deal, and I think Gordon can speak to this, is there does have to be an element of play, doesn't there? There needs to be some sort of a therapeutic benefit to the process. I've been thinking a lot about this lately, and I think maybe Gordon and I were talking about this a week ago. If you've got a battle going on in your mind, in your head, that makes things really, really hard. So what's the opposite of that? It's play, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I like to things in the shop need to be calm, and if there's a turmoil in your mind, which there's plenty of stuff going on, in my life and in the world for us to be pretty tense, but making, well, it's, I don't know. I figure that artists, crafts people that are really driven, it's a bit of an obsessive compulsive, you mentioned psychology, and I mean, I'm really only happy when I'm around my kids, my wife, my little dog here, or when I'm making stuff. And making it doesn't even really matter what it is that I'm making. I just it's like a compulsion. I just have to make stuff. And seeing, I think, in youth, the fascination with seeing something take shape, that's kind of what's driven me my whole life. And yeah, it is a form of play. And I've got a daughter-in-law that you got to play more. And I was like, well, that is kind of what I do.
It's people have told me all along, Gordon, since the time I left my mentor Greg Darnell, they say you're going to burn out. You can't work that much. And it's not, I've taken weekends off and done all kinds of stuff. It's not that I work like a normal business hour type situation. A little more now, but any business owner, normal hour. How's that, right? Any business owner, I work just like the
Yeah,
rest
sure.
of them. Why does work have to be a bad word? This is fun. This is what I love to do. I retired at
Amen.
20. I retired at 25 years old. Right? I've been I really did. I retired at 25 and now I've been busting my ass ever since then to keep from getting a real job, but I have enjoyed my retirement.
I have a good friend that said that's the dirtiest word in the English language, job.
I talk about the attitude and the play, but people ask me how I'm doing, and it's a keyed response that I tell everybody, but awesome. I don't have a real job. I'm doing great, you know. I mean, it's awesome, but job is not a bad word to me. Work is not a bad word. This is all
No,
fun,
no.
you know.
It is. It depends on the approach, I think. And then luck probably has something to do with it, finding yourself in a position where you can do what we do. But I also think that the drive toward that is what dictated the luck. It just, I look around in my shop and I'm like, wow, look at this. Look at all this stuff, and I can remember when I dreamed of having that, this shop right here that I'm in today, and didn't think it could ever happen. And now I look around and go, well, I hope I'm here for a long time still. This is fun.
Yeah, fun. A quote from Jimmy Johnson, who was fo the football coach and on TV and all that stuff. He said, "Luck is where preparation meets opportunity." So
Oh, I like that.
that's right, what you just said. The drive and the, it's
Say
luck.
that again. I'll forget it. Luck is.
Luck is where preparation meets opportunity. So we all have opportunities that face us in the world, but if you're not prepared to take advantage of that opportunity, you're not going to be very lucky, right? And
I
I
like that.
that brings up another thing. I know I've talked about some of my in-person classes, which I don't do much anymore, but you're in an auditorium and you're in the back row and you're kind of head's bobbing and you're not paying attention and falling asleep. Well, there's things happening there, and we do need to be opportunistic, right? There's that word. You have to take advantage of opportunities. So you need to be in the front row, pick your chin up, and pay attention, because things are going to happen. Things are happening all the time, and we just have to be kind of sensitized and tuned in to what is it that's happening, and see how you can integrate that whatever is happening into your world. And I think that's what Jimmy Johnson is saying. Opportunity, that's the opportunity. Opportunities are all over the place.
Lately I've been something's been going through my mind that I kind of got from an interview I did with Chester Haight, Chester and Wayne both. And Chester, we were talking about I guess tooling saddles, and Chester said that when he just wanted to see what a design idea that he had would flesh out like. And customer hadn't paid for it, but he what he said was he gave away hours and hours of tooling. And I've thought about that. That's been quite a few years ago, and I've thought about it a lot over the years. And the question that I wish I'd asked him after that was, well, who or what did you give that to? Did you give it to the customer? Did you give it to? And I've come to think of it this way, that he gave it to the work. And so I've been thinking, well, you have to give to get. And you can't be wanting to get when you give. You know, that you give that whatever it is, and you give a certain focus and attention to what you're working on, and you give it to that work, and then that work goes out into the world. And if you didn't take the opportunity to give what you could to it, then it won't have that when it's out there. And then I've thought, well, what he gained by doing that was the mastery that is, Chester Haight. I mean, I just I still just marvel at the work that he did. And I've thought about that with all kinds of occupational work. It doesn't really matter what you're doing. Any occupation, if a person is willing to take a chance and reach out and give to that job everything that you can, then you're going to see the opportunities for that kind of growth, and also never run out of opportunities to be a student. And I really feel like I've always been a student, and even if I'm teaching, I'm still one of the students. And that approach is, there's freedom there. There's just total freedom in that. I can try, I can look, I can watch what other people are doing, I can see what's happening, in the world, have opportunities to add stuff to my work that's based on all of that experience, because I'm trying to be open to it, to learn, the next thing every day, learn something new.
Journey never
So,
stops.
no, it doesn't. It doesn't. I If it does, something's wrong, I think.
That fun stops for me, right? The fun stops. Learning on this program, I was telling Carrie, I was working on a program this morning, drawing program, and they're trying to vectorize some drawings. Long story, but I was learning, and that was exciting, right? It was really fun and exciting. The inefficiency of the learning at the moment was extremely frustrating, all in the same breath, right?
Oh, amen.
Golly, I was having a hard time with it, but
I've been learning fusion to, drawing
Oh,
3D.
wow, yeah.
I want to build saddle trees in a 3D program. And I've been frustrated for pretty much my whole career that I can measure a horse. I can think about, what is saddle fit, and then talk to a tree maker and learn that well, these angles don't it there's no easy way to get the angles right. So I figure, well, I'll just learn fusion. It should be confusion.
Well, now, Gordon, we're not going to judge a book by its cover. We're not going to talk about age or any of this stuff. But you just knocked me smooth on my backside, and now you're stomping on me because I had no. I would have never thought the word fusion and 3D programming and drawing would have come out of your mouth this morning. And that is awesome. That is an incredible thing. I mean that's CNC 3D programming. That's pretty dang cool. I never dreamed you would have been pursuing those angles, but that's
Well, it's like I could get a block of styrofoam and cut up tree parts and try and discover all the different angles, but the software has been it amazing, just amazing to me. But
it allows you to cut that styrofoam, cut that steel, do whatever it is. You push the clay. It allows you to do all that with the push of a button. Doesn't mean it's any easier. It's not any different than carving that dadgum metal out. It's just a little faster. But the mistakes you'd make in metal are still the same things you're making. If you don't understand the form and the angles and the things you're talking about, there's absolutely no way to recreate it, whether digitally or physically.
That's right. That's exactly right. I can remember, oh, years ago, early 2000s, I was starting to want to make some trees, and I thought, well, I'll start with some miniatures. And I got this little block of wood and looked at it, and I was really used to being able to figure things out, and it just stumped me completely, just stumped me. And I just put that block of wood down and thought about it for years and years before I picked it up again and fooled with it until I could get one made. The geometry is just nuts on a saddle tree. It's just crazy.
Oh, that's cool. Compound angles and
Oh,
all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. It's
Yeah.
sculpture. And
Yeah.
the goalposts are
Trigonometry.
always moving, and
Oh, yeah. Always moving.
yeah.
Yeah. It
You
in
know, one thing that before it kind of squirts away from me there, a few minutes ago, Gordon, you're talking about that freedom that comes from giving what and or whom are you giving back to? And all of that. And when you kind of cross that threshold of, okay, let's make this work and kind of resolve the battles in our mind, I suppose you might say, is another way of putting it. That's another aspect of what we talked about before, and that is an attitude of abundance, isn't it? When you're giving something, that means you're giving from an abundance. There's an
Exactly.
attitude of abundance that is huge.
in that. And when you do that, it's just, boy, it just feeds itself. It takes on a life of its own.
It does feed itself. It's a kind of thing. I suppose I had mentors that kind of showed me this. It would have been nice to, well, I probably did hear it. I probably heard it from my dad. You know, you got to give to get, or, you know, what I've come to realize that I said a minute ago, but I think it's worth repeating, is that you can't do that giving with the expectation of getting. It really has to be
Free.
a place of real generosity, and that I'm not taking from my work, I'm giving to my work. And then that feeds out with, you know, family and people that I meet, trying to have a generosity of attitude and abundance. I like that. I like that word.
So I got just a little bit different approach, but what you two are saying absolutely has a part of what I'm dealing with, and that is the individual that I'm giving the project to. Is I expect nothing back from that individual. And there's been many individuals in my career, especially in the beginning, that I wanted to do something above and beyond what they asked for, right? Is what they ordered. I would give them more. But when it's about the piece, when it's about the project, I have to give. I often say you have to, the integrity, you have to stay true to the integrity of the project. Certain things, certain techniques, certain skills have a level of respect that I need to give. I am giving respect to the project to finish it to the nth degree that it demands. And there is no return in that. It's like talking to an older gentleman as I've grown up. They didn't have to give me anything, but I absolutely had to give them my respect in order to learn and continue down my journey of life. And so these projects are they demand a level of my respect and whatever techniques especially. Like if I'm going to do an inlay, there are ways to do it fast, and there are ways to do it right. I don't do the fast ways. And well, I want inlay. You can do it faster than that. No, inlay costs this much because there is a level of respect that I have to give to this project in order to complete the project to what it deserves. So, I won't cut corners. Right? Well, we all do, right? If I'll be truly honest, I cut corners on certain things. I'm trying to go fast, but. I'm con it's constantly trying to stay true to the level of integrity of the project.
It's a little bit of a wrestling match, isn't it?
It
You
is.
know, you know, I'm a professional, okay. So yeah, I need to cash in. We got to eat and mortgage, and then you know, the dang property taxes keep going up, and you know, and so we've got to get this done. This has got to get done. And what's the next thing? And how can I monetize the skills that I've got and still be true to the well, to the work, you know, to the work that I'm making. It's for me, it's always been, you know, the work at hand comes first. It comes first. And then I like the way you said that, Wilson, that you know, give to, I always feel like, okay, I want a customer to come and pick up a saddle in person if they can, because all that work that's gone into that thing, and it's sitting there and it's pristine and it's glowing, you know, and I'm pretty tickled, even though I know what isn't perfect in it. I get excited about that. And their response when they walk in and see it the first time. That's the paycheck, you know. That's the, and then I'm like, oh, okay, it'll be finished now when it gets an even surface of scratches, and you know, when it's out there working. And please let me know how it's, you know, how it's working for you. And I do think that at some point people get afraid to tell you if they're not happy with something. And I'm, no. I'm just a saddle maker, and if it's not working for you, you've got to let me know. And then the feedback that no, it's I finished one a while back for a team roper, and I was real anxious to hear from him how it was doing. And he said, you know, it's perfect. And I was like, well, and he said, well, he says it does everything that it's supposed to do. And he'd been keeping it behind his couch in his house. And yeah, it was real pretty. And I, you know, he said he was listening to a program, was talking about saving things for, you know, that are special. That if you don't go ahead and use it, then when you're gone, that opportunity is gone. And so he said, I'm going to use this saddle. And he took it out and started roping out of it. And I said, well, you put some rubber on that horn, didn't you? And he goes, yeah, I did. I said, well, how's it, you know, how's it performing? And he says, it's just like a dream.
That's cool.
And that was the best feedback that I, you know, that I could have gotten. You know, how, yeah, I know it's pretty, but how does it work? That's what was, you know, that was, it would have been a failure completely if it didn't work.
Without function, it means nothing. Without its purpose, it means nothing.
Yeah, I've always just the design problems that function provides to, as a maker, are the special sauce, you know. It just how do you incorporate everything together? And I do think that I don't believe that the inlay, you know, that you're talking about, Wilson, or I don't think that's less important than the function. I think it's part of the thing's function.
Absolutely. Right.
And you know, but and it deserves the same amount of respect, that finishing, or that, you can call it decoration. For me, it's an exploration. That finishing of something with you know, how do you take this shape, this sculptural shape that is a saddle, that is a case, that is spurs, it's a bit, and incorporate, you know, thinking of it as a piece of sculpture, and then form, and how does that all tie together, as a whole, that's cohesive and strong, visually strong, and up to the job. Then if that, you know, if I can hit that, to the point where, you know, what is a flaw? Well, is it working? Is it working? And then if it's working, then okay, on to the next one, you know.
Yeah, that's talked about the whole enchilada and putting it all together, and that's not an easy task, right? I mean,
It is not easy. It
not at all.
doesn't get easier either. And I was talking to when I'm talking to to students, and they're watching, and they go, "Dang, you make that look so easy." And I go, "Well, in here, inside here, it isn't easy. It isn't easy. But I know how to do it." And it doesn't mean that I don't have to focus on the same things I once learned I had to focus on. I still have to focus on them. And
Fundamentals. You
know, I think if it becomes easy, all three of us would become bored.
Oh,
The
yeah.
challenge goes away. I think that's why we do what we do, right? It's what gets us up at 4:30 in the morning or whatever, and it
For
do
me, it's
maybe not you,
what keeps
but
me up till 2 in the morning.
I was gonna
I gotta
say.
let my little dog out here. She's
It doesn't matter where you spend your hours. It seems like everybody's spending their hours at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, right?
one way or another.
I get up at 2 in the morning to titi,
Oh,
but I
you're in that place in life,
I've
huh?
always been there, you know.
Oh,
Whatever.
yeah. Yeah. The first thing you look for when you walk into a building.
Bathroom. Oh, yeah.
My life is revolved around when and where. Gordon, all of this, it's just integrating the form and function, the art and function, and all that kind of stuff. And we talk about the struggle of it, but we don't want to place one in competition with the other either, do we? It's not a
No.
competition, and that's what I see out there, is people place one over against the other instead of trying to integrate the struggle is trying to find ways to integrate the two, not separate the two, isn't it?
Well, I don't think that they are separate.
They're not.
You know,
Unless
that
we make an effort to separate them. And
I
then you're
think the
just in a
reality,
battle for battle's sake.
right. And whenever, we're talking about form and function here, and I first encountered that in college, in art school, and the old thing, form follows function. I'm like, well, I just don't like to think of it that way anymore. I don't put more value on function than form. The two things are the same. That's to me, they well what I try to find this common denominator in the world, and sift through language to weed out what's really there, what's really happening. And for me, form and function are the same thing. I'm talking about the same thing when I'm talking about form. And then there's a strength of form, there's a generosity of form, and that has to do with looking, close, and knowing that there's more details there than I can see at this point in time. And I know that because I can see more detail now than I could when I was younger. And it takes longer to finish something because I can see more. And I can't ignore, what I can see as a potential. And so that's always involves a search for form. And if something has to perform a job, then that's part of its form. It's not, there's no need for something in this project to be more valuable than another thing in this project. There's just no place for that. And the reality is, if I get in a hurry, or if I say, where this rigging is positioned is more important than where this flower is positioned, if I start doing that, then that's going to weaken the whole thing. It all matters. It's all part of the same project, the same thing, the same work. It's all part together. So, like you said, Carrie, why separate them? They've got to work together. It all works together. And the next discovery leads to the next growth in, or the next idea, the next excitement, the thing that gets you up. And like, I'm in the shop and working, and my daughter-in-law is like, "You've got to play." And I'm like, "Well, that's what I'm doing."
Yeah, that's what I do. I tell you that's good for me to hear, Gordon, because there has been a bit of thought process in my head, whether I created it or somebody else, I don't know, but it's form and it's function, right? I'm all the time thinking the function of a bridle bit, a pair of spurs, and then I'm going to make that look as good as I possibly can. It is one. I totally agree. That one plays with the other, and I've always had a bit of divide in my own mind for some reason. I mean, I wouldn't do one with, I was always arguing that it has to work good. So there was my separating line, right? I mean, that was like without function, it means nothing. But then I always said function can be pretty, right? My wife is a cook, and she has several different businesses that she runs, and she does a lot of health food stuff, gluten-free things. She said just because it's healthy doesn't mean it has to taste bad. It can taste great like
There you
normal
go.
everyday food.
There you
So it's
go.
the exact same thing.
It is. It is. And I, you know, when whenever that argument has come up, my, form and then decoration, like, well, when this thing's finished, they aren't separate from each other. And so the spurs that I can see behind you there, Wilson, they function as spurs, and but the ornamentation on them is also a function of those.
Yeah,
That
I agree.
there's something in the world that that wouldn't be if that ornamentation hadn't been paid. I love what you said about respect it. I respect the things that I'm making enough to make them beautiful.
Yeah, for sure.
Even if they're really plain, there's still a finish. A
Absolutely.
rough out saddle has a finish on it, and that surface is either, monkeyed with more or monkeyed with less, but it's the same thing. I
Totally
don't
agree.
see, so put as much thought into that surface of that thing as you.
So when I started my engraving, which up until I had worked for Greg for a year and a half before I started engraving, and then I started engraving, and man, the light bulb went off. I wasn't working for Greg to become a bit and spur maker. I was just college kid needing a job, right? A team roper needed entry fees is what it boiled down to. So when I started engraving, my dad's a painter and cowboy and a painter. And so he said, "Well, son, we better start talking about art and design." I, "Oh no, Papa, I'm just engraving. I'm just building bits and spurs. I don't know about art and design." And my dad is a Marine, Vietnam vet, so he's a bit hard-headed, and then a Marine on top of it, right? So we're really hard-headed
And a cowboy
and a cowboy. So there's a lot of
and an artist.
determination. Yes,
How
and
does this all occur in one body?
there's an awful lot there. But he says, well, what do you think you're doing? You can't ignore art just because it's a bit or a spur or engraving. You cannot ignore art. It is a part of it. And
Oh, I like that.
force fed me into the situation. And you talk about hard-headed. Greg wasn't exactly a mild softy either, right? So on one side of me, I had form, and the other side, I had function. And the function certainly had a natural, that's Greg, certainly had a natural feel for form and art and all that, but he couldn't articulate it the way my dad did. And my dad would, I get my motor mouth from my pop, and certainly put it down there, but there was no separation from the very word go. What do you think you're doing? Just because it's a bit doesn't mean art isn't involved, you know. It's absolutely there.
Oh, I like that. I like
Oh,
that.
an example I think of this, if we can kind of include another little story is I suppose is when I come into my shop and I see a rough out saddle that's maybe nearly complete, and the line of the cannel, the line of the seat, the shape of the ground seat, all of that stuff, when it's done correctly, when it's done with this harmony, which is a word we've not been using, but that's a big part of this. It's that we're
Absolutely.
trying to harmonize these two things. When there's a harmony there, it beckons me to sit in that saddle. There's something, and it has to do with the architecture and the visual appeal of this form. And it may have nothing to do with the decoration. And to me, that's part of our job as cowboy craftsmen slash artists, whatever, however you want to unpack that, is to try to find ways to get to that place,
That's it. Yeah.
to have this integration, this fusion, if you will, of these elements in a harmonic symphony.
I want to create huge conflict in my customer's mind the minute they see my piece that I built for them. I want huge conflict. So how is that harmony? Well, I want to harmonize the form and the function to a point to where it's so damn pretty, they don't know if they can use it, but it looks so cool they have to,
Okay, I like it.
That's the conflict that I want to create. It's like it's so pretty, I can't use that, but it
And you hope
looks.
that they succumb to
Yes.
the temptation to use it, that they actually
Yeah.
get
Yeah.
their shot.
To elaborate just a little bit on what Gordon was talking about and the satisfaction that comes from that, from them using it. To me, the piece will change, right? Wear and tear and spur tracks across the seat is going to change our tooling, right? It's going to change our engraving when the horse has stumbled and hit the rock or whatever, right? Fell down. But to me, that piece becomes more valuable to the user because now their story is incorporated on it. Instead, their life story is now incorporated within the piece. It
Exactly.
may change at the auction 100 years after they're gone. The value of the piece may change in that it's now used and not pristine. However, to the person that bought it and the person that used it, it is way more valuable to me.
Agree 100%.
Anything that has lasted long enough to wear out, like the Sphinx and the pyramids, they show their value, I think, or the intent of the maker. I think about the cathedrals in Europe and some of the, well, there's some amazing buildings here in the US too. And the architecture, the things that were put into them, the things age. Yeah, it's the whole planet is aging, but it looks pristine. To me, it's like, well, this thing is going to leave my shop, and now it looks like a picture. Now it's a pretty, but it leaves here, and it has a life of its own now. And I remember years ago, I would go to Santa Ynez, California every year to a sale and a show out there, and we'd get invited. I can't remember the folks' names, but it's basically a museum of bits and spurs and saddles and braiding, just an incredible collection. And I'd be in there looking at these Olson Nolte saddles, and they're old, they've been used. And the person that, or the people that worked on them, they're long gone, and that saddle's still there. It's still alive. It's still there. And that, maybe I'm just a goofball, but to me, there's something really profound about that. That this thing that you gave attention to is now out there in the world, and it's a thing.
It's a thing.
My granddaughter says, "Well, that's a thing." And I just it's like, yeah, those things are out there, and they're performing, they're working, people are using them, and I'm not there. That thing's there because I did it. And so that's why I believe you just have to give to it. And the first time I said that, my wife kind of looked at me, "Well, what are you?" And I said, "No, I'm giving to this object." Well, it's not a person. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm still gonna give to it so that it can be all that it can be. And yeah, it isn't it, but still.
I think a big part of what you're trying to describe there, Gordon, is the physicality of what we do, that it's a physical thing. And I think moving forward in this world of digital flashing images and stuff like that, I think things that have intrinsic value because they are physical, because and they're produced by an embodied life with your hands on the material. Isn't that a huge aspect of what you're trying to say there?
Embodied life. Wow, Gary, I like that.
Yoda
Don't
showed
call
up
me
and
Yoda for nothing.
here's Yoda calling.
Yeah. We probably all get called Yoda from time to time. An
Well,
embodied.
earlier on, you were talking about how do you derive happiness? It's making something. That's an embodied life. That's that doing something with your hands. And there's something tangible. There's physicality. It is a thing, to borrow a phrase.
Yeah, it is a thing.
There's meaning in all that. There's meaning in all that. And
There
that's what I
really is.
think is what we're trying to do is to let's kind of recapture some of the relevance and try to find a way to make this robust. And you talk also about respect. We're also respecting a very deep cultural aspect of what we do, right? There's another whole layer right there of the cowboy culture.
And craftsmen. Cowboy culture and craftsmen.
Craftsmanship.
I often say that 150 years after I'm gone, nobody's going to know who the heck I am, right? Wilson Capron means nothing. And the marketing and branding that I preach and do all right now is long gone. But I
Yeah.
want, if there's a peace of mind that survives that time and somebody looks at it, I want them to say, wow, I don't know who the heck that, I don't know who made that, but that's really nice. That's really
Yeah.
nice work. So,
Exactly.
it has nothing to do with me, but it has something to do with the peace again, the respect to the peace and the test of time.
Right. I think without I well, I don't know. I think those of us that really have dedicated our life to the making of these things, I don't know. Maybe it's too early in the morning. Well, it's a way to live beyond our own lifetime.
Sure.
That is, I think of Lewis Sullivan. He was an architect. He was Frank Lloyd Wright's mentor, and he was the chief architect for the Chicago World's Fair for the White City, and those guys did crazy, reckless things with their architecture, and the chance taking, that they were involved in was next level. That Ferris, who built the first Ferris wheel, there'd never been one built, and they didn't know. He was competing with the Eiffel Tower, so he's like, okay, this thing, the cars held 50 people, and they're held together with wires, and the thing was monstrous. And they had no idea if it was even physically possible to get the thing built. And I remember when I was reading about that, I was like, oh my gosh, it was like a battle, well, it was like it was a battle to get the thing done, to get it done in time. Buildings fell down while they were building them. It was just yeah. And so that's kind of now, you can go to a bank in the Prairie States and see a bank that Lewis Sullivan designed, and all the decoration on it and everything. Well, that's still there. And that means Lewis Sullivan is still there.
Yeah, still there.
I can get to know Lewis Sullivan by going and studying his work. And I can only do that because he gave that amount of effort to it. And my son's a classical musician, and he knows he plays the tuba with orchestras, and he knows all this music that was composed generations ago,
Yeah.
and those composers are still alive in that work. And when and the thing about music is that it only happens with time. You combine time to sound, and you've got music. And the immediacy of that, it just is fascinating to me. His technique has to be so flawless to play that, in a large orchestra, everybody working together seamlessly. And he talks about the time that it takes sound to move across the stage, that everybody has to stay together. And he's talking about that degree of precision of timing, that the time that it takes for that sound to get from the violins over to the brass, the brass players, And for everybody to stay that tightly cohesive together, it's just miraculous. I feel like that's what we have the opportunity when a lathe is spinning, or when you're removing material. Oh, I removed too much. Well, what's the form going to be now? What's the
Just
form?
changed.
What the form just changed? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have an image in my mind of what is the fullness of the form. I've been making all hafts, and I'm just fascinated with the wood lathe these days, and traditional tools. And how do you stop removing material when you've exposed the form that fits best in your hand, that you can push an awl straight with? I'm definitely in the weeds now, Carrie, but
Well,
that's cool.
that's all good stuff. No, I think I think a hunger out there for this kind of stuff within the cowboy world. I think we've underestimated, in my opinion, people out there that can use this kind of information and engage with this kind of subject and to be able to discuss things. It's just that we've told ourselves we're not supposed to within the cowboy world, but here we are kind of smashing. We're like bulls in a china shop, and oh well, climb on board.
I'm on
Hop in.
board.
The water's
Yeah.
warm, you know.
Yeah.
I was
Yeah.
a I was a young man wearing a 5-inch brim hat, high top boots, and high heel boots, and I was a team roper. I didn't exactly fit in, but that's what I had to be me, right? So we may
Yeah,
not
yeah,
exactly fit
yeah,
in this
yeah.
little society that fits on Facebook or Instagram or something, but we got to be who we are and live under this
Yeah.
umbrella of the West. And I mean it.
Yeah. I
It's
was
what we
thinking
are.
about that earlier today, that it's been years since I had a horse, and my old gelding died, and I sold off the his barn mate, and figured for sure that, 'cause horses had been, I'd worked with draft horses for almost 20 years, and I just couldn't imagine life without a horse, and the longer it's been, and the more I've focused on my trades, and I thought, well, I look around in the shop, and I was like, okay, well, I still have that poster up of, Letterbuck, and it's like, yeah, I'm still in this world,
Oh
of the horse. Yeah, I'm still
yeah.
in this world of the horse.
Yeah.
So I
Well,
think
should we?
those animals just, as a kid, the horse was strong enough as an image, and as a character, as a being, to sustain a life of making, I think. So
There's
hats off to the horse.
that physicality, that embodied life, that
Yeah.
and all of the implications of that, and your relationship with those animals, and
Yeah.
that's all the stuff that we're about.
I don't ride like I used to. I had a friend ask me the other day, "Why do you have horses?" And my response was, "I guess I like to buy feed still. I don't know
Yeah, yeah,
because I
yeah.
don't ride them a lot." But as we sit here and visit about it. Those individuals I have four individuals. Some of them I've had a long time. Some of them I've just recently acquired for various reasons. But they're all personalities, individuals, and I love every one of them. I don't
Yeah.
spend the same amount of time with them that I do my dog,
Right.
But the relationship is similar in a lot of ways, right? They're just, they're cool individuals. They're fun
They are,
pets.
aren't they? Yeah,
They're
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. I just figure, what can I learn from this dog? I've got a little border collie now that is just smart as a whip. And I realize that she understands so many words.
Yeah,
And I
English.
talk to her. I talk to her all the time, and I can tell, oh my gosh, what's going on in this little animal that I don't know, that I can't begin to see. And so, years ago I stopped trying to be, I'm still in charge, but I stopped trying to be the dog's boss and become the dog's student and try and learn, what is she doing? She's moving, she's doing this thing. What is it that she's doing? What's informing her? That's a whole nother, that's a whole
I thought you
nother
were going to
can
dive
of
off
worms.
into gesture drawing. What is the thing doing?
Oh, Lord.
What is it
Yeah.
doing?
What is it doing?
Well, that's a whole lifelong study right there.
Well, when I had someone here in the shop had come to study with me, and we were studying together, and my wife had taught me that when I'm teaching, I need to stop and ask the person who I'm trying to teach to, what stood out, what has jumped out at you that you want to keep. And they said, well, I want to, like, if I'm looking at a plant, I want to see what it looks like. And I realized in that instance that I stopped trying to see what something looks like years ago, and I'm trying to see what it is. So, like, when I'm drawing and tooling in leather, I know what those shapes are, not what they look like. And they look the way they do because I know what they are. And
The natural.
it's like, no, I don't want to know what that blossom looks like. I want to know what it is so that if you turn it, you'll know what is there when you turn it. What is going on? What's happening in the structure that's making it form these little flutes? And then if I do know what's there and can feel that tension that's in a leaf that's making it curl, then I can give that to this thing that I'm working on, and it will have that tension in it. It will have that, that strength of form.
Have you ever read or have you ever studied under the book The Natural Way to Draw?
I've seen it, but I haven't.
Well, you just
We need to
regurgitated
dive
the
off into that.
you just regurgitated the first
Oh man.
chapter without even knowing it, Gordon. But it says if you draw an orange and you know that it's a lemon, you know that it's sour, you'll be able to draw it better. So you if
Same
you know
stuff,
what it
same
is,
stuff.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's
if you know
all
what it
five
is,
senses.
you can draw it.
All
And
five senses make it work.
yeah, and the things that we're drawing, like I think about what we're talking about, what might be useful to someone, who's starting out or would be useful to me if I heard it, and for me, when it comes to engraving or leather tooling, surface decoration. Why is it so hard to learn to draw floral shapes and drawings? I had a teacher in high school. There's, I think, three or four different teachers that are mentors to me, and they this one, his name is Lloyd Nelson, and it was in a commercial art program at Sevier Valley Tech that we were able to go to in high school. And I can still remember him going up to the window and drawing the building on the other side of the window on the window. And that was just, so I've said to people, when we're drawing these patterns, these shapes, there's nothing to look at. You have to have it in your head. Yeah, you have to have it in your head what they are so that you can draw them. And if I wanted to learn to draw horses, well, I'd get a horse or a picture of a horse and put it there. And basically, what Lloyd taught us there was that this canvas is a window, and what we're drawing, we're trying to figure out how to trace it. And there's nothing to trace in these pro in these in these patterns, so we'd better understand what they are and what is balance, what is harmony, what is, so I teach the elements and principles of design, which have been around for centuries. And harmony, you brought up, Carrie, is one of those that really stands out. And that all has to be in your head if you want to be successful at drawing these things. And from the most simple leaf to the most complex, intertwined, confusing design, depending on what you want to do. So you have to know what that leaf is if you're going to draw it. You have to know what, if you turned it over, what's on the other side. And I ask myself that all the time. Well, if I turn that over, is it filled with air so that it's going to be the same shape on the other side? Or is it thin and has tension in it so that I'll see the opposite shape on the other side of it? Is this thing cupping around this scroll, or is it flowing up on top of it? What is it doing? And then I can draw it, and then I can tool it, then I can sculpt it. And that's why, to me, the ornamentation is every bit as critical as the stirrup leather length, the fender size, the horn shape, it's all, there's meat there. There's something to nourish you when you look at it and when you study it, but really when you make it and see it come into the world, it's just, I don't know, kind of next world or something, or something.
Well, I think I know that when you get into what would seem like pretty abstract stuff off in the weeds and whatnot, but if people allow themselves, and that's to me the stumbling block. If you will allow yourself to, number one, this is what you're talking about, Gordon, what is it? And secondly, what it is doing. If you allow yourself to see and feel that, any sentient human being is capable of this. I'm pretty much convinced of that. It's just that we got a battle going on in our head that's not going to allow you to do that. So that's my opinion.
Well, I could say all kinds of really cool things and mess up everything, so I'm just gonna keep my damn mouth shut. But that was gold, Gordon. I mean, that is the absolute truth, plain and simple.
Well, before we get too farther in the weeds, we probably should land our plane and go clock in, huh? Well, this has been awesome, Gordon. I knew this was going to happen. I just knew it. I could feel it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It really was
Well,
cool. We never know. I mean, these conversations are always unchoreographed, and
never know what's good.
you never know which way they're going to go. And this is
There's
really
no
cool.
script.
No, there's no script.
There's no script in my head.
Well, there's definitely not in mine and Carrie's either. So that was awesome. I really appreciate that, Gordon. I look forward to the next conversation. Let's go ahead and put it in your calendar at some point. Let's do this again. Yeah,
sounds like
yeah.
fun.
This has been fun. I appreciate you guys very much.
Well, I learned some stuff. I know that. I got a
Well.
new some new ways of looking at things and stuff. That's what these conversations, I think, become, as we've talked about, kind of rewards in and of themselves. And if anybody else can benefit from them, great, great. And if they think we're all nerdy, woo-woo, way out there in the weeds, that's fine too. Whatever.
Well, we
Well,
are, so who
we
cares?
are.
We are,
And that's why the stuff we make exists. So,
exactly right.
take it or
Well,
leave it.
I'm wrapping up 4 days with Amy Erickson, the TCA Fellowship, today in the shop. And so your neighbor, so she's about to get some information plopped on her. What you just said, what are you drawing and what is it doing? Right. So,
What is it and what is it doing?
that's it. That's it. Valuable stuff. Well, thank you, Gordon. Thank you so much. And
Thank
until
you,
next
guys.
time, be well.
All right. Take care.
Adios.
Adios.